Did you get a sense that it would be the season, or?
Yeah, I mean, this is like with Bob Woods. He got into the NHL, and then Mitch, and then Brennan. We've had three coaches leave in not so long, with 2, 3, and 3 years each. So we're kind of getting used to that, but that's what we want to be. Like we see ourselves now as like one of the premier organizations in the whole CHL in terms of how we treat our staff and our players and how we develop them into pros. We want to always talk about our players going pro, and we got a ton of them going pro right now. But we also want to develop our staff, like not just coaches too, like, you know, equipment managers, things like that. We're always looking to develop everyone into pros. So I always know when you have a special coach that the day is going to come so you always kind of think in the back of your mind. You know, you always wish that you had one more year together. That's always the goal. And when you have a great coach, but I think this is a great time for this change to happen too, just with the new wave kind of coming in. We're going to be younger next year, have a different identity in terms of our roster makeup, lots of great veterans returning, but I think it's a really good time for a new voice to come in and breathe some new energy too into the culture as anyone would.
With all the changes that are, like you said, probably going to be coming in terms of next season with a revamped roster, a lot of familiar names are graduating out or have graduated from the Blades organization. What does Dan bring in terms of that continuity to keep, you know, that fabric of the team from last year's team into this next era?
Yeah, we have an awesome, like, I think we have the best goalie in the league returning, second round draft pick. It's pretty rare for a goalie at 6'1" to be an NHL second round pick, almost unprecedented at that size, to a D-Corps that's got, you know, three or four absolutely huge, you know, world-class junior defensemen on it, with a bunch of really good 2007 borns that are all been over-ripened, I'd say, in the minors, so to speak, and they all could have made our team this year, and we kept them all in midget prep under 18 hockey to develop, and they're all going to have a chance to a bunch of returning forwards that are a deep group that knows how to win. They know how to back check, they know the details. Certainly we're going to lose some scoring that we need to find, and that's where I think Dan's going to come in here. I think he's a skilled guy. He had a great career as a skilled forward. He's going to find creative ways for us to score, and I think he's really excited about working with all these new young guys that are going to be 16 and 17 that have the opportunity to come in and play a bigger role than they would have in the last few years when we were so veteran heavy. And you need a teacher and someone that's willing to develop, and that's Dan. So I think he's really excited to work with these kids that he's seen for pockets, whether they came up as call-ups or whether they were just there to play a few minutes a night. Now they're going to be guys getting bigger roles. So,
Dan, the easy answer would be ditto to this question based on what CP just said, but your thoughts on what you've got coming in to work with in 2024-25?
Ditto. No, I would echo what Colin said. I definitely agree. I think that we have a lot of really nice pieces, solid pieces coming back, a really solid foundation of players that have been here and have played in some big time games, some game sevens. They've had a ton of playoff experience. I know that they're hungry. I don't think that they want that to be necessarily the peak of their careers. I think that they want to come back and continue to make some noise. And then, yeah, obviously starting from the net out, Evan Gardner and Austin Elliott, Riley Budd, guys like that coming up through the system, obviously is a great place to start. Really solid defensemen that are returning. You look to guys like Morgan Tastad, for example, to take a step this year and really show what he can do and what he's capable of. And then up front, like, we have guys, Hansen, Pars, Voltovskis, Caliberts of the world that, you know, for 2 or 3 years have played on behind guys like, we start with Robbie and Crink, and then you go to Wonger and Sito and Lizzo, all these guys who are exceptional, you know, elite players in this league, and they've been bottom six guys for us. And for now, they're 19 coming back this year, and can really, it's an opportunity for them to really show what they can do. They've done a really good job as role players, and now for us, and now I think moving forward, it's their time. It's their time, and it's their opportunity, and I think that they're going to show really what they can do in this league, and it's going to be fun to watch and be a part of.
Now we'll do two more questions at the front here, and then we can split off into the individuals. John?
So now that you've got a chance to sort of put your stamp on this team personality-wise, it's probably a pretty good situation you're coming into, but how are you going to make this team your own, and what kind of flavor are you going to bring to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm an even keel type of coach, very live in the now. For me, it's not like I need to change a ton. I definitely think there's going to be some tweaks here and there, whether it's structurally or whatever that may look like. But we've done such a good job here of building a winning culture, a hardworking culture where guys come in and it's they know what they have to do, and it's work before anything else. And when it's time to have fun, we'll have fun too. But it's all about developing these kids, whether it's on the ice or off the ice, away from it. In school, their education, all that stuff is very important. So we want to continue to hammer that culture home, that Blades way, that Blades hockey that we've created over the past 3 years. Like I said, it's very important to keep building on, and then putting my own spin on it, whatever that may be, based on the group, whatever the group's needs are when we get everyone here in September, and we'll kind of address that.
How are you going to manage going from an assistant associate role into a head role, and kind of some of the requirements, and I don't know if there's a different flavor or vibe that you'll have to bring now coming into a familiar face into the locker room, but a different role here.
Yeah, so what I'll say to that is kind of what I said when I got this job 3 years ago, is all I can really be is myself. That's when I feel most comfortable anyways. These kids all know me. So if I come in this year and start acting different, they're just going to be like, it's all BS anyways, Doss. That's not how you are. They know me. They're familiar with me. And I think that's the best part of this. Honestly, for me as a coach, I don't know if I have to change a ton. There will be stuff that's going to come up, but I have to treat it a little bit differently. I have to put on my head coach hat, not associate coach. But I'm not going to try and pretend like I'm something that I'm not. And these kids, they'd call me out on it anyways. They know me too well. After 3 years, I've been too open with them. But that's the beauty of it, as I know them and they know me. And I'm really looking forward to working with these guys with the head coach hat on.
Yeah, I don't think we ever ran like the good cop, bad cop culture either, like with our staff. I think there's times where all of them are both. Like they just, that was just based on the day and who had the relationship with that personality on that day. And that's not going to change. So I don't think, I know people ask about that question all the time in sports when you have the assistant take over, but we just didn't, Brendan didn't operate like that. And that's why I think there's going to be seamless in terms of that.